Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We've also been called by God and given a platform to reach out to the world. And that platform has been given to us not for us to use in a political way, not for us to use in a political manner. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we are to live our lives in such a way that something that is far more important than temporary things that take place here, eternity, has been given to us.
Here on Practical Christian Living, you won't hear us talk about politics very often. Today, we're talking about it just a bit because Paul is talking about respecting those who govern over us. We may not agree with our leaders or with everything they stand for, but God's Word tells us we are to be witnesses for Christ and not allow differences to get in the way of us shining our light so that others might come to know Jesus. Today we open up in Romans chapter 13. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich and deep, powerful and profound and meaningful. And that you have given us such a depth in the word that you cover all the aspects of our lives. Rarely do we find something that we have to make a decision on that we don't find direction in the pages of Scripture. We pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would speak to us about what our responsibility is to government. We thank you that Paul spoke of these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As chapter 12 started in the book of Romans, we started a section on Christian living. 2 weeks ago, last week we had Daniel Fusco that was here, but 2 weeks ago we talked about the end of the section there in chapter 12 where Paul talks about harmony, that we are to walk in harmony with other believers, that we are to walk in harmony with people that we don't really know, and we are even to walk in harmony with those people who want to harm us, those who would be considered enemies, that we are to love them, that we're to do good towards those who hate us. And he goes right into the next section to talk about how we ought to interact with government. Of course, this is such a different picture of government than what they had. It's important for us to realize that not only does Paul talk about it here in Romans 13, 1 through 7, but also Titus 3, 1. Titus was a young pastor that had gone to the island of Crete to help set up a church there. And Paul wrote him a letter to help him. And then Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, and says a lot of the similar things about the responsibility that we have towards government. The government that we have, of course, is so radically different than the government that Paul was talking about. Paul was writing from the town of Corinth, and he was writing to Romans who lived in Rome. The book of Romans was written in 44, 45 AD, and the emperor of Rome at the time was Nero, who ruled for 13 years. So when Paul says, pray for your leaders, the irony is that Paul will be arrested, appeal to Caesar, and stand before the very emperor that he tells the believers in Rome to pray for. He would be released, and history says that he was rearrested and that he was beheaded at the command of Nero. Now that has some irony to it. Remember that the Roman Republic lasted for hundreds of years. Julius Caesar was the last of the leaders in the Roman Republic, and Augustus Caesar was voted in as emperor about 27 BC. During the time of Christ, the emperor was a man by the name of Tiberius. Up and past the time of Christ into the early part of the church, and then there was an emperor by the name of Caligula, really gross guy, then Claudius, and then Nero. Caligula and Claudius had reigns that were about 4 years apiece. And this is the Roman Empire, where there is one dictator. But something to understand about the Roman Empire was that they were all about taxes. Rome made their money by controlling the world, collecting money as far out as they could, and bringing that money back to Rome. And they wanted things to run smoothly. If you were a governor of a region, and it didn't run smoothly, you weren't collecting taxes from that area, then they would remove you and put someone in that did. It was all about getting the taxes. And the Jewish people of that day were prone to revolt against Rome. In fact, it would be for taxes, at least the start of it, that would cause Titus to march on Jerusalem and eventually destroy the city. If you think that people couldn't be that uptight about taxes, do you know that we exist as a nation because of taxes? That's why the United States exists. Now, this is a little bit of an oversimplification for you history buffs here who want to correct me. I realize that. But it was basically taxation without representation that our founding fathers were upset about. They were upset that we had no representation and we were being taxed and our taxes were being taken over to England. And so it started the Revolutionary War for the United States. So taxes can be one of those things. Now, when we talk about government, we can't talk about government without getting into politics some. And it's easy for us to conflate Christianity with politics. It's something that I've been very careful ever since we started the church back in 1985 to make sure that we don't do that. We've gone through a lot of presidents. In fact, the first president that I voted for, I wasn't going to tell you who I voted for, but the first president, now that I told you guys, only you guys will know. Nobody else will know. Was in 1980, and that was Ronald Reagan. And of course, we had, what do we have? Reagan, Bush, Herbert, right? And then we had Clinton, W, right? And then Obama. So it's been all over the place as far as Democrats and Republicans. But the United States, ever since the first time that I voted, the United States is a politically charged nation. And it is the same way today. And every so often someone comes to me and says, you really ought to focus on politics more. And my response is always, no, I shouldn't. Because the influence that God has given us as a church doesn't have anything to do with backing political people. It doesn't mean it's not important. Politics is extremely important. And we live in a place where we have the right to say something about what's going on in politics. We can vote for people. We can vote for people that represent us. We can call our representatives and we can let them know what we think and what we want them to do. And I encourage you to do that and to be involved in that. If you don't do that, then I don't know that you can. If you don't vote, you don't really try to make some kind of an influence. I don't know that you can complain all that much when things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. I also believe that politics can be a powerful thing of making a wrong right. Do you know that in the 1830s, the 1820s and 1830s, there were more people in the United States that believed that slavery was okay, that slavery was moral than didn't? It was the law of the land. Of course, we were a divided nation. The northern states were free states. And the southern states were slavery states. But this nation, for many years, was divided right down the middle. And when Lincoln was elected, he was elected, and the hot button for him was that the new territories would not be slave states. They wouldn't be slave territories, the new territories. He had nothing to say about the states that were slave states or the states that weren't slave states. His campaign and what he ran on was that the new territories were not going to be slave territories. And of course, as soon as he got elected in, then certain states began to secede, and it led to a bloody revolt that finally ended up with slavery being outlawed. And I've compared something going on today to slavery. Slavery finally was outlawed because slavery was wrong. It's wrong for one person to own another person. And I would say that 99% of people today would agree with that. That if we were to have a vote on it, it would be an overwhelming vote. We would agree that it was wrong. How could there ever have been a setting where it was accepted, where it was thought that it was okay, and even defended by some Christians? How could we ever have a setting like that? I believe today there's a Holocaust going on, and that is that I believe that babies in a mother's womb are independent. Now, I realize that some of you might not believe that. That they are an independent person. But just understand, if I believe it, if I believe that babies are being killed in the womb and I don't say anything about it, what kind of person would I be? I would be like a person who kept silent during the Holocaust, or a person who kept silent during slavery. We live in a day when I believe that we will see abortion turned around. I believe that it will become illegal to have abortions because it's wrong. And I believe it's wrong. It's morally wrong to take a life just because it's in the womb and take that baby and kill it. There are babies being killed in America. And politics is one of those ways that we're going to see that changed. And so that's why I vote, by the way. There are some who are upset, and maybe rightfully so, with evangelicalism because we embrace the Republican Party. We embrace the Republican candidate. For me, and people will say, well, how could you vote for someone like that? For me, it's one issue and one issue alone. And that is the abortion issue right now. Once that issue is taken care of, then it may indeed be something else that would really drive me as to the way that I would vote. So in what I'm saying today about government and politics within the church, I'm not saying that politics is bad. I mean, politics is bad, but I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in it, right? You guys understand what I'm saying. God has given us a call. We as Christians, now that's our duty as humans. That's our duty as citizens of the United States of America, that if we believe that something is going on that is vile and awful, we need to make our stand politically to be able to do it. That's our duty as humans, as residents of the United States. But we're also children of God. We've also been called by God and given a platform to reach out to the world. And that platform has been given to us not for us to use in a political way, not for us to use in a political manner. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we are to live our lives in such a way that something that is far more important than temporary things that take place here, eternity, has been given to us. We have the greatest call, the greatest cause of all time. And that is living our lives for Christ in such a way that people see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they invite Jesus into their lives and they gain eternity for that. During abolition, John Newton was he's a pastor and he was also a slave trader when he was younger. Never really forgave himself for that. Of course, he wrote Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace. In the line there, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He never really forgave himself for what he did, but he was very involved in abolition. And it was a powerful tool that was used, but he also knew how important it was for him to stand up for Christ. And that is the first call that you and I have received. You have been given an influence. God's given you a sphere of influence. And that sphere of influence should be used, first of all, to shine as a light for Christ. And if we conflate politics and Christianity, which a lot of people do, we make it the same thing, then we end up putting a stumbling block in front of people. And someone that's on the other side of where we are would not be able to come to Christ. We close doors. And that's why I think it's such a dangerous thing for churches to do. Now, understand me. Churches do it. If you are conservative here today and you want a church that talks about politics all the time, I can't for the life of me imagine why you would want that, but you want that, it's out there. You can find it. You can even talk to some of us. We'll help you figure out where you can go. If you're a Democrat and you want a church that will speak up for what you believe and the issues that you believe in, then you can go and find a political church that is Democrat as well, and we'll help you find that as well. But we will not get involved in it because this platform has been given to us to lift up our Savior. And Jesus himself said that if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Every once in a while, usually every 4 years, I get people who will talk to me that say that you have such an influence that if you told people how to vote, that you could make a difference in elections. I'm not sure about that, by the way. I'm not sure that I have that kind of influence. And maybe if all churches got together, there might be some kind of an influence that could, sway an election here or there. But here's what I think. I think you guys are big boys and big girls. And I don't think you need anybody to tell you how to vote. I think you can pray. You can look at the candidates. You can see who represents you the best. And you can make those decisions. You don't need a pastor saying, this is how you should vote. Now go out and vote. You don't need that. You just need to have a right relationship with God. Pray about how you're going to be involved and then get involved in it. And during those political seasons, which we got one coming up here pretty soon, during those political seasons, we just keep focused on Christ. We keep focused on what the Word of God says, on us being used by Him to see people enter into eternity, because there is a great call and there is a great cause to which you and I stand for. So Paul now turns his attention away from the issue of harmony with those that disagree with you or those who are your enemy, and he now turns to the harmony that we are supposed to have with government. That's the best way to say it. He wants us to be harmonious with government, doesn't want us to make stands against it. He says in verse 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. That's how he begins his statement on government, on authority. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And he's talking about Rome, which will use whatever power it has to be able to make itself as wealthy as it can. And he says that you need to be subject to the government that has authority there. For you and I living in the United States, because we have been given that right to vote, it's a little bit easier thing for us. But it was something that was difficult for them. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Jesus had opportunities to get involved in social issues. There were social issues during his day. Remember, there was one point where people tried to. They came to Jesus and they said, did you hear of the Galileans whose blood was mixed with their sacrifices when they were killed? So there was this event where Galileans were giving their sacrifices, and somehow they were killed and their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifice. And for someone who was Jewish, this was an awful thing. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Do you think that they were any more evil because this happened to them? But I tell you the truth, if you do not repent, these very same things will happen to you. He was looking forward to when Rome would march on Israel because of their, first of all, rejection of the Messiah, and then being turned over to the Roman Empire and what had happened there. And so Jesus didn't get involved in any of it. Paul didn't get involved in it either. There's plenty of things going wrong, and Paul had opportunities. But throughout the book of Acts, you don't see anyone getting involved in social events. It's not that social events aren't good to be involved in. Taking care of the poor, helping out immigrants. These are all good things and more things for us to do. But when it comes to what our call is the gospel. And we see that clearly. A few years ago, when there was another president, I heard someone say that they were praying against the president, praying against him. And I thought, where in the world do you find that? The Bible tells us to pray for those that are in authority, not to pray against them. Now understand that in the Old Testament, there was what was called imprecatory prayers. You know what an imprecatory prayer is? God get them. David prayed some prayers like that. Remember when David said, break my enemy's teeth in their mouth. Gail Irwin used to talk about us not praying for things like give people nausea and lockjaw at the same time. Curse kind of prayers. Now, we don't live in a time where we're going to pray like David did. We live in a time where we are to bless those who curse us and bless those who differ from us. And in no way, shape, or form should we ever, no matter what our political views are as Christians, should we ever pray against someone. We should pray for them. We should pray that they would be blessed. We should pray that they would be successful in what they are doing that we agree with. We can pray that what they're doing where we don't agree won't take place, but we should pray for them and always pray that they should be blessed. I wonder where people get these kind of things from in Scripture. Well, maybe 2 Opinions chapter 3 or 3 Thessalonians chapter 4. One of those passages where they get ideas like that. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The first thing that Paul tells us is that the authorities are used by God in God's hand to be able to keep peace and to make life peaceful for us. And we are to be seeking a peaceful life where we can live our lives in such a way that people see Christ in us, again, the hope of glory. He says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. If you resist authority, again, thinking of Paul writing this, Nero being the one who was in charge, the irony of his life being taken from him, but he understood that governments are put in place by God. God's the one who puts them in place. This is the sovereignty of God to place governments there to watch over people. And so we are not to resist the government. Now, when I told someone a while back that I was going to be teaching on government, they said, you're going to bring up that if they tell us to do something that's not right, that we shouldn't do it, right? Of course I'm going to bring that up. Of course we do it. Remember when Peter and John, it was after Jesus had been resurrected and had ascended up into heaven. Right in the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter and John go to the temple to pray. And they walk by a man who was lame for his whole life. And the man was a beggar and held out his hand for some money as they walked by. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Rise up and walk. And that man stood to his feet. The Bible says that he was jumping and leaping and praising God. And such a commotion was made that it got the attentions of the Jewish leaders. These are the very people who would have crucified Jesus. And so they didn't know what to do. So they said to Peter and John, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter said, you know, Peter said a lot of things that weren't good. But Peter said, you decide whether it is right for us to listen to God or to man. When God tells us to do something, and whatever government is over us tells us to do something that is different than what God tells us to do, then we do what God tells us to do. If the government tells us to do something that is wrong, and the Bible tells us what is right, then we do what is right. Paul obviously is not talking about resistance in the sense of doing something that is wrong. But if God tells us to do something, then we do it. And if it is illegal for us to preach the gospel, then we're going to do it anyway. In fact, I agree with John MacArthur, who said years ago, I heard him say in the 70s, that he believes the best thing that possible that could happen to the United States would be a law that would outlaw preaching the gospel. Because all of us would go, you ain't telling me I can't preach the gospel. We aren't even preaching it now, but as soon as we're told not to, we'd be out there preaching to people. We'd be saying, I'm gonna do it. Sometimes the best thing that can happen is some persecution and some struggles. But the Jewish people were known to resist the Romans. They were known for it. Paul's writing to the Romans who live in Rome, and he wants them to live peaceably, and he wants the gospel to spread. And so he says to them, don't resist the government, because God has put the government over them. This doesn't mean that everyone in government is good. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.